Exodus chapter number 2. Today is Mother's Day. I guess you figured that out. And by the way, we do have a great crowd. I appreciate all of you that are here. It's such a blessing to see the pews filled. And again, I appreciate all the ladies that came yesterday, and that was a real blessing. Brittany called back yesterday, or text back, and she was just so blessed, and her mother enjoyed being here and talked about our church, in a good way. Said it was a great church, and we're grateful that they were able to come yesterday, and the Lord worked that out. I'm just going to go ahead and read my scripture today to begin with, and then we'll come back and make comments as we go. Begin reading verse number 1 of Exodus chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. And the Bible said, there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. She daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And when her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she said, had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went, called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today for the word of God, and Lord, we do thank you again for mothers, and Lord, again, today we'll see a great example of mothers here in the Bible, and I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if our mothers are living today, be sure that you make contact. If you can, let them know that you love them. And Lord, those of us who have lost our mothers, we long to see them and thank the Lord that in my case, and I trust in your case, one day we will see them again. And what a blessing that'll be. Have your will and way, we pray. We'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want to speak to you today on the subject of the man with two mothers. The man with two mothers. I only had one mother. Some of you may have had an experience where somebody helped raise you, may have been like a mother. But here we find Moses literally had two mothers in his life. You know, Mother's Day can be a bittersweet day for many people. There's no one in the world like mother. For most, mom is a very special person. We thank the world of her, and we love her, and we're grateful for her. Others, however, may have some bad memories, perhaps maybe along the way. Maybe your mother might not have been so special. Maybe in some ways she did. I pray that would not be the case, but I run into people all the time, and the reality of it is many times there is difficulty along the way. Perhaps the relationship was strained for reasons. I've heard often about people that said, my mother hasn't spoke to me in years, or daughters and children that say, I haven't spoken to my mother. And I think that's a sad thing. Irregardless of what anybody does, if we're a child of God and a Christian, we ought to do everything in our power to be sure that we make amends with our mother. And there may be times that you can't. They may be the one that refuses to do that. But again, motherhood is a bittersweet experience. For some, motherhood is an accident. Literally, can you imagine? And I would hate for anybody to ever tell the child they were an accident. But the truth of it is today, many mothers have children out of wedlock. They didn't intend to get pregnant. They didn't intend to have a baby, but they ended up with one. And so as a result of that, sometimes the child may be neglected in other ways. Then there's those that biologically cannot have children. My heart goes out to them. When I think of all that's going on, and I'll say more about that in just a moment, but it's so sad today that there's many that I don't understand it. I don't know why, but God chooses, God knows, and he's in charge, and we know of all things. And my heart goes out to those, but still, I believe they can be a mother to somebody else's kids and help along the way. Don't ever feel neglected or feel left out. And some mothers have already said maybe the mothers wasn't so nice. A motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still way less than a bed of roses or a primrose pass which we go down. I would hate to know that I would have had to done the things that my mother did. I know there's things impossibly that I could have done, but I'm talking about the fact of just trying to raise children, being the one at home to be the responsibility of getting them to do the things that they need to do. A poet by the name of William Bush said it this way: to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to become a mother. People become mothers all the time, whether they want to or not. But yet, it takes something special to make the mother to be what she needs to be. So we have to be careful when I approach this. And again, I'm not preaching down to anybody, and I don't know what your past is. I don't know what your mother is, and I don't know anything about it. But here's what I'm saying. Today, if there's any problems between you and mother today, I would encourage you, if mother's living, get it right. And make sure today that you love your mother, because that mother was the special person that God put in your life to have an impact and influence upon you. Somebody wrote this, and I want to just read to you a few things about real mothers. Real mothers. Real mothers are special people. We agree with that. Real mothers would like to be able to eat a whole candy bar all by themselves and drink a Coke without any floaters in it. You get it? Real mothers know the kitchen utensils are probably going to end up in the sandbox. Real mothers often have sticky floors, filthy ovens, but happy kids. Real mothers know that dried up Play-Doh doesn't come out of shag carpet. I remember that. I think I remember trying. I wasn't a mother, though. Real mothers sometimes say, "Why me?" And their answer comes when the little one tugs on the apron strings and says, "Because I love you the best." And today, the mother and the love of a mother is so integral part of our life. Real mothers love their children. And children should love their mothers and treat them with respect and honor because God placed them in our way. Some of the greatest people in history will tell you how important their mothers was. I'm not going to go through the list. Almost every year I use some of this stuff. But George Washington, for example, you know what he said? He said, "All I am, I owe to my mother." And I'm going to tell you, I had a great father, and we'll get to Father's Day next month. But I tell you, it was my mother that labored. It was my mother that sat up with me at night when I was sick. It was my mother that was there. But here we find in the scripture, Moses had two mothers. Now imagine this, and we're going to compare and look at them just a little bit along the way. But both of these mothers had an impact upon Moses' life, I believe, leading him in the direction that God intended for him to go. God puts the mothers in our life that he knows that we need. And here he gave Moses too. Moses would become a great leader and a man that loved God. But yet we find here both of these women, they fulfill in providing in a material role in the life of Moses certain choices that would impact Moses' life for the rest of his life. Truly, in Moses' case, we could say the old phrase, "the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world," could much be in effect in the life of Moses, because he did as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. I want to examine the choices these mothers made. Their choices have much to teach us about life, love, and legacy that we leave our children. And I want to talk to you today and allow me to point out the choices that were made in the life of Moses. The first thing, and I think any of you would know where I was going, but both of them chose life. You know, we're living in a day when life is not important to most people anymore. I think the sadness of babies that are killed every year. I think of the sadness of people that can't have babies, that would love to have babies, and they can't, and people make the choice to just extinguish them or get away from them, and they have no remorse or no guilt about what they're doing. They choose, both of them now, and understand this was Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm going to get to it in a minute where you understand what was going on, why she hit him in the first place. But Moses was born in a culture of debt. The context is found in Exodus 1, verse 17 through 22. I'm not going to turn there, not going to read it today for sake of time. But according to the decree by Pharaoh, Moses would have been killed as soon as he was born. Moses said, "I want all the Hebrew children, all the boys, they're going to be killed." And so here's Moses born during that time of that dearth and that sentence that had been posted upon them. And so what did his mother do? Moses' mother, Jochebed, No doubt she could have decided, well, what's the use? Isn't that the way a lot of people are today? They think about it and somebody tries to give them an alternative and they say, what's the use? What the use is that that child was formed by God and created by God for you, a special child. And yet she could have said, well, we're just going to let it go. Imagine what she went through. Imagine the pregnancy. I tell you today, I saw a lady the other day. She looked like she's about 12 months pregnant. I tell you, she looked like she was beyond ready to go. And I tell you, she looked miserable, and I'm sure she was. But imagine going through that. Back in that day, they didn't have any ultrasounds. They didn't know whether it was going to be a girl or a boy. So their decision ultimately could have been made prior to his birth, basically saying if it's a boy, that's what we're going to do. But they didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. And maybe, you reckon, they may have been praying for a girl because knowing the circumstances of the death of the boy. But God gave them this little child. And the Bible says he was a goodly child. The word goodly there means he was pleasant, he was agreeable, and he was happy. Now, any of you that get a kid like that, you want to hang on to him, right? I mean, good, pleasant, agreeable, and happy. In his mother's eyes, he was perfect, just like your kids are. Just like my grandkids are, just like your grandkids are. We look at them, man, they're perfect. No, we know better than that, but we're thankful for what God's done in blessing us in our life. But by the way, both Moses' mothers, and I know some people say, well, you can't count her as his mother. Oh, yes, you can, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But both his parents were involved in his decision to give him life, even her husband. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not, her and her husband, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. I tell you today, we need a world of people today, like some mothers that song, I like that, if I could hear mother pray again. Mothers that prayed for their children and tried to put a hedge around them that God would protect them and raise them up in the way. Jochebed's husband was Amram. They hid. They decided that they was not going to just give it up, so they took it and they hid the baby. Can you imagine what it might have been, even for Jochebed? It doesn't take much to look around after a woman has a baby and know that she's already had that baby. Can you imagine all the questions that would have come? Where is he? How can you explain it? What did you do with him and all of the things that was there? But all the time, that little boy was alive and well, growing, rambunctious baby boy. And he was right where God wanted him to be. By faith in God would allow her, no, excuse me, her faith in God would not allow her to murder her child. She gave him life. She wanted him to live. She could not kill her baby. She could not. So she wanted to secure his life forever, somehow or another. So she got a basket of reeds. She put a little bit of pitch on it so it would float, wouldn't leak. Put the baby in it. And by the way, can I tell you something? Going and putting your baby in the river among all the little stuff that's on the growing out of there, that takes a lot of faith too, because there's snakes and there's all kind of things that could have got to the baby. But I believe Jochebed trusted God, that God was going to take care of that, and he did. And you heard in the story we read just a moment ago that another mother came on the scene. Here was a mother who chose life for a child, and death seemingly would have been the easiest thing to do. She had to do a lot of conniving and a lot of making and a lot of things that had to come to pass, but she had faith in God. Then the next mother we find, consider with me, is the choice of the princess, Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine this in verses 5 and 6? Let's read that again. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Can I tell you, if anybody else would have found that baby and tried to keep it, Pharaoh would have killed it. But of all the people in Egypt and all the people in that place, who do you think finds that baby? Pharaoh's daughter. My, what a coincidence. Oh, that's baloney. Wasn't no coincidence. That was the plan of God. That was the hand of God. It was the working of God. Here was the daughter of Pharaoh. She didn't go looking for him. She came down to the river to bathe. immediately when she looked, she said, "This is one of the Hebrews." Somebody said, "Well, how did she know that?" Because he had been circumcised, and she knew that the Hebrews were circumcised. And so immediately she understands that this baby belongs to the Hebrews. But what did she do? The princess did the same thing that Jochebed did. She chose life. She said, "I want this baby to live." The Bible says she had compassion on him. Compassion means to spare and to have pity on. In that instant, the princess made a choice. I don't believe it was something she had to think about. I don't even know if she prayed, but I know she didn't pray about it. She knew that she could either obey the decree of her father and go ahead and let him know and let them kill the baby, or she could choose life for that baby and fight, like everything, to defend and protect him for the rest of the life. Let's face the facts today. We live in a culture of death. We live in a world where the most dangerous place for a baby is in the womb of a mother, and many. And yet today, I'm thankful that through the years, God's given us the people that he had. You know, I thought the other day, I said, man, I'm sure glad my mother didn't choose to kill me. I'm thankful. I've enjoyed life, and God's given me a good family, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm telling you, and whether you like it or not, the statistics are going up daily and weekly. Children are being murdered and literally taken and killed every day that we live by the thousands. And I'm telling you, there's some that their mother might have aborted them, but they became great people. Let's make two quick statements about this. Thank God for every mother that chooses life. I appreciate the pregnancy center here in Thomasville. I appreciate the pregnancy center in Tallahassee. I have a friend that works there as a volunteer. And they come in, the ladies come in and talk with ladies. The men come in and he deals with them. And many times they have a good percentage rate of convincing them that they need to spare that child. Not saying they have to keep it. If they want to get rid of it, there's somebody with open arms that'll take it, but encouraging them. And I want to say thank God for every mother who chooses the life of her child. But let me say this, and I say it kindly as I know how. I don't know if this be the case, but if there's anybody in this building today that's ever had an abortion, I want to say to you today, you may have not chose life at that time, and it is a sin, I believe, that can be forgiven. And I want you to understand that God loves you. And I'm so glad that God doesn't hold things against us. And that God will, if we're sincere in our being, he will forgive us of what the sin that we commit, no matter what it is. And yet today, I'm telling you, I'm thankful that the Bible said that our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered against us no more. I tell you, if it was not for the forgiveness of God, not any of us would be worthy to be here today. So don't misunderstand me today. I realize pressure, circumstances, and life, and people may convince you to do something like that. But if you have, all I can say is please don't do it again, but allow God to work in your life and allow him to forgive you the sin that you've committed. Death would have been easier. Here's Pharaoh's wife and, his princess, his daughter. And it could have been easier for her just to come in here and say, "Well, here's your another one." He said, "Man, how did that happen?" Oh, I'm glad you asked. God made it happen. God made her fall in love with that little baby that day. Talking about a mother's love. I don't believe her love came from the same place Jochebed did. Oh, it did come in certain circumstances from the same place. But Jochebed's came because she knew God. It came because she loved God. And she knew because God cared about them and all they did. Number two, quickly, they chose to give Moses love. Well, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to give them life. But once they get here, they need love. I tell you today, I'm thankful, but I see happening all the time, people with children, and they seem to let the children go to and fro. But I'm telling you, a home where the mother that loves them is the kind of home that God blesses. Both these women, they loved them. They loved them themselves. They asked the question, why do they do this? Why do you do what you do, mothers? Because you love them. Listen, you wouldn't take anything in the world for sitting up all night with them. Oh, I know you'd love to have some sleep, and you pray hard that they will get well and quit crying. But you know what? Most of the time, It wasn't a matter of arguing in my house whether I got up or whether my wife got up. I think I would. Now, I'm not going to speak out of turn. She may disagree with me, but I feel like I was willing to get up sometime. But literally, her feet hit the floor way before I even woke up good. And then I'd fall back asleep and find her the next morning sitting beside them, ministering to and nursing them along the way. Look at verses 7 through 9. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, remember now, she saw it, she opened it, she had compassion on him, and saw it was Hebrew. Then she said to his sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? Isn't that something? Now this is only God. You hear what I'm saying? Of the chances of Pharaoh's daughter finding the baby, miracle number one. The choice, miracle number two, was this princess wanting to keep the baby. Miracle number three, when she asked her if she needed to go get a nurse to raise that child up, she said, a nurse of the Hebrew women. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. That's miracle number four, or whatever, I lost count. But miracle after miracle after miracle. Not only did God spare her child, but God give her another mother to help him get trained in the things that he needed. And yet, his real mother got to come live there and get paid, and Pharaoh had to pay for the child he was going to kill. Isn't it amazing that we serve a good God? And boy, he knows how to handle everything along the way. Her love for Moses allowed Moses to fulfill the greatest earthly destiny ever designed for any Hebrew. Because his mother loved him so much, she risked everything that she had in order that she might save him. And you know what? He was the very one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's the very one that God used in a special way. But wait a minute. The princess, Pharaoh's daughter, she loved Moses too. The Bible said that. It said she had compassion on him. You know why? Because God put it in her heart to have compassion on him and to love him. There's no other reason a pagan daughter of Pharaoh would love a Hebrew child that had just been commanded and sentenced to death. She's the one that named him. She named him Moses. The word Moses means drawn out. Referring to the fact that he was drawn out of the Nile River. Draw out so that he might one day draw out. And that's exactly what he did. He was drawn out of the Nile, but one day he led the children of Israel and he drew them out into the land that God had promised them. It is hard to escape the irony of the situation. And I've already said this. I got ahead of myself a little bit. Say it again because it's worth repeating. But Pharaoh had to pay for the upkeep of a child that he ordered to be murdered. That just tickles me. I don't know if it does anything for you, but it sure just tickles me. And just a reminder, and in case you're wondering about all this, just remember, we serve a God who's in charge and in charge of everything. And he never fails in all he does. God put love in the heart of two women for one child. They were vastly different, and God spared Moses from certain death because God had a plan for Moses' life. What if she would have turned him over to Pharaoh and said, well, you're going to kill all the babies. Go ahead, kill him. But not Jochebed. She said, oh, no. And then God took over, and he took Pharaoh's daughter and allowed her to be where she needed to be during that time. If you were born into a family that received love, you should rejoice today that you've been loved, you've been blessed. I tell you, things were a lot different when I was growing up. My mom and dad both worked, daddy worked. He didn't go but to the eighth grade, but he went back to technical school at night and got his refrigeration degree, and he worked hard. And be honest with you, he wasn't as able to spend as much time with us as I've been able to spend with mine. But I can tell you this, my mother and daddy loved me. They always had something for me and provided for me along the way. The story's told of a young mother that was making her way across South Wales, and she was carrying her child when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. As it got harder and the snow began to pile higher, she knew that it was almost inevitable that they couldn't make it to where they were going without freezing to death. So she began to take off all the outer garments of her clothes and wrap her baby as tightly as she could. And that's exactly what she did. And then she hovered over the baby and lay over the baby to try to keep the baby warm. When the people came along later and found them, she was frozen stiff and she had deceased. But when they surprisingly began to uncover all the wrappings that was on her, that little baby cried out. And I'm telling you, that was a mother in England that saved a child because she wanted him to have life. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grew to manhood. He became the Prime Minister of Great Britain and without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen that ever lived. But imagine, had she not protected him and saved him, where would he be? The mother of three unruly, notoriously bad children was asked whether or not she'd have children again if she'd do it all over again. She said, I would. Said, would you have three? Yes, I would, but I wouldn't have the same ones. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What part of the pie would you get? He said, a six. She said, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are seven of you. Yes, teacher, but you don't know my mother. She'd have said, I don't want one. And my mother was that way. I remember many times there'd only be one piece of chicken, and I'd want it. She said, I'm not hungry. I don't want it. Yeah, go ahead and eat it. You know why? Because she was my mother. She loved me. And if I'd have had any sense about me back then, I'd have insisted she eat it. But being a young boy with a foolish mind, I went ahead and took it anyway. Washington Irving once said, the love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endears through all, in good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation. A mother's love still lives on. Why are you telling all this? Because I want you to think about your mother today. Think about how blessed we are to have mothers, and we ought to treat them with the respect that they need. I feel so bad, and I've told this before, and I'm so embarrassed about it. The worst whipping I ever got in my life was I talked back to my mother only one time. My daddy took care of that right then, and I never talked back to my mother. Back then, it didn't bother me so bad to talk back to her. But I tell you, it breaks my heart today to know that I talked back to her, and I shouldn't have. This is long, and I don't know if I get all the way through it, but Max Lucado, he wrote this about a gentle thunder. Let me read some of it. He said, Moms, why do you love your newborn child? I know it's a silly question, but indulge me. Why do you? For months, this baby has brought you pain. They made you break out in pimples and waddle like a duck. Because of them, you crave sardines and crackers and threw up in the morning. They punched you in the tummy. They occupied a space that wasn't theirs and ate food they didn't fix. You kept them warm. You kept them safe. You kept them fed. But did she say thank you? Are you kidding? She's no more out of the womb than she starts to cry. The room is too cold. The blanket's too rough. The nurse is too mean. And who does she want, Mom? Don't you ever get a break? I mean, who has been doing the work the last 9 months? Why can't Dad take over? But no, Dad won't do. The mother wants Mom. She didn't even tell you she was coming. She just came. And what a coming. She rendered you a barbarian. You screamed. You bit bullets, tore the sheets. And now you look at you and your back aches, your head pounds, your body's drenched in sweat, every muscle strained and stretched. You should be angry, but are you? Far from it. On your face is a longer than forever love. They've done nothing for you, yet you love them. They brought pain to your body and nausea to your mourning. Yet you treasure them. Their face is wrinkled and their eyes are dim. Yet all you can talk about are her good looks and her bright future. I just love that when a baby's born. Isn't she pretty? Most of the time they're as ugly as they can be when they first born. She's going to wake up every night for the next 6 weeks. But that doesn't matter. I can see it on your face. You're crazy about her. Why? Why does a mother love her newborn? Because that baby is hers. Even more because that baby is her. Yesterday, Brittany drove up. Well, the other day when they drove up, I looked across the car and I saw her mother. You know what I said? You look like your mother. She said, everybody says that. I can understand. Why does a mother love her newborn? Because the baby's hers, even more because the baby is her. Her blood, her flesh, her senior, her spine, her hope, her legacy. It bothers her not that the baby gives nothing. She knows a newborn is helpless and weak. She knows babies don't ask to come into this world. And God knows we didn't either. We are His idea. We are His. We're His face. We're His eyes. We're His hands. We're His touch. We are Him. Thank you, mothers, for loving your children. Even when they were unlovable, just like we are. Why Jesus died for me, I'll never understand. Only because He loved me. And the only reason that a mother will sacrifice and work her fingers to the bone to provide and to give and to touch the lives of her children is because she loves them with an undying love. Thirdly and lastly, they choose to give Moses life. They chose to give Moses love. But they chose to give Moses leadership. Just a few days, we're going to be recognizing these seniors. I told Mac this morning, I said, y'all going to walk the plank? I mean, graduate this year? But I said, it's almost like walking the plank when you fall off into a whirl. You find out all the things that's going on around about. But both of these mothers invested in Moses' life. Jochebed invested a lot. She hid him, and then she was called in to raise him. So basically, she was there with him all the time. His Egyptian mother gave him the best Egypt had to offer. His Egyptian mother did. Listen to Acts 7, verse 21-22. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him for her own son. And Moses was a learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. You know what God was doing? He was finding somebody in leadership, even though they were in leadership for the wrong way. But they knew strategy, and God chose this princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, to bring in Moses and to raise him up and to have him trained in wisdom and knowledge of how to handle people. And believe me, he handled a pile of people when they crossed over the Red Sea. You know what he got? The best education possible. Oh, it didn't matter what it cost. Didn't matter what the books meant. It didn't matter. Give him the best. It's possible that Moses, by virtue of being adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, could have been in line for the throne, possibly. He was trained as a prince in Egypt. He was trained for leadership. He was trained for something that would serve him well in later years. But his birth mother, she gave him something his adoptive mother could not give him. His real mother introduced Moses to God, the God of Israel. She told him about the true and living God. And I'm going to tell you today, you want to invest in your children? I tell you, wisdom is fine. Leadership is fine. The books and all those things that go and teach them everything there is. But if you neglect to teach them the truth of the Word of God, you've neglected the most important thing you can give them. Because this made an influence on Moses for the rest of his life. She would have warned him about the false gods. She warned him about the religions of Egypt. She would have told him the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, you don't understand. Here's Moses' real mother raising him in the palace. Here she is every day rocking him. And they're singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And they're singing all those songs in the nursery. All the kids know Adam and Eve. In fact, you can go in there and even if they can't read, they can tell you what each page says. That's what we do in the nursery. That's what we do at church is to drill them and teach them the truth of the Word of God. And every day, Jochebed, Moses' real mother, was literally bombarding him all about God, the promises of God, His promise to deliver them from bondage one day. She would have instilled in him a love and respect for the God of his fathers. He was raised in the palace and he was raised by the princes, but he never forgot his forefathers and all that were there. Her lessons took root in heart. How do we know? Just listen. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. By faith Moses, when he had come to years, he's older now, he's a young man. When he come to years, he refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Why? One reason only. I'm not taking God out of the equation at all. But his mother was used by God to teach him all about God. And when it came down to it, he had more money in Egypt. He probably had anything. He could have probably had the best chariot there was. And he maybe did. But you know what? He gave it all up to be with God's people. Oh, today that people would desire to be with God's people. That we desire to be in the house of God. I tell you today, I don't know how anybody does without God. I simply know today how great it is in our life. By the time he was grown, Moses understood. He understood that he was going to be a deliverer, that there was going to be a deliverer of Israel from slavery. Acts 7, verse 24 and 29. And seeing one of them suffered wrong, you remember, he defended him and avenged him that he was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at his saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Moses said, I'm going to take up for my brethren. I'm going to do what's necessary. He killed the Egyptian. And then he got on to the rest of his people for why they didn't defend their brother. God help us today to defend one another. Not suggesting kill nobody, but I can tell you this. We need to stand up for one another, fight for the fight that's in us. The lessons Moses learned from his mothers, but mostly his real mother, set the course for his life. If they leave your home and they're unable to balance their checkbook, but they have a clear understanding of who God is, and who the Lord Jesus Christ is, they are well ahead of the smartest peers that they'll have as friends. You said, I don't agree with that. Well, you might not. But when you know God, it makes all the difference in the world. In this culture we live, parents want their children to have more than they did. Guilty. We're all guilty. We want them to have a better life. We want them to have a better education. We want them to have a better home. What we should want more than that is to have a deep, personal, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. More than anything, we should give our children Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen, and one day coming again. Take us home to be with him. Let me ask you this in closing. Ladies, have you been the mother that God would be pleased with? Can I say to those of you whose mother is living, have we done all we could do to show her the love that she had for us? Friend, I'll tell you, Moses had two mothers. But really, he never counted Pharaoh's daughter. Well, I say he didn't. He did during the time, but when it came down to making a choice, he chose God. He chose his mother that loved God and his mother that served God. Friend, I tell you, the object of the message today is God break our hearts over the love of our mother and be thankful for a mother that cared about us. My mother loved me until the day she died. I loved her, and I still love her, and I'm looking forward one day to seeing her again. Oh, what a grand reunion day. I remember Brother Roscoe used to sing, come home, it's supper time. One day, Mother's going to reach over the portals of heaven. She's going to say, come home, it's supper time. And oh, the joy being reunited with that mother that God gave to us.